بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the Most Merciful, the One who bestows mercy. Indeed, all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. And may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, upon his family, companions, and all those who follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam until Yawm al-Qiyamah. In the previous lesson, we began reading from Riyadhus Salihin, and we began the chapter of Al-Ikhlas wa Ihdaru Niyyah, the chapter of Al-Ikhlas, sincerity, وَإِحْضَارُ النِّيَّةِ, and maintaining or having an intention. And in the previous lesson, we mentioned the definition or the meaning of ikhlas, that it is صِدْقُ النِّيَّةِ مَعَ اللَّهِ, having a truthful intention with Allah behind every action which you do. We also mentioned the importance of sincerity, and the importance of a sincere intention, not only in every action, but also in every inaction. Meaning in everything you do, we do it for the sake of Allah, and everything which you leave and refrain from doing, we do so for the sake of Allah. Also, we spoke about the indicators of sincerity, and how a person can ensure or instill in him the qualities of sincerity. And we said that one of the indicators of sincerity is when you do a righteous action, you do not care whether somebody praises you or somebody criticizes you. And also that you try to conceal and hide your intentions as much as possible. And also that you perform righteous actions hoping for the reward of the hereafter, as opposed to trying to make a worldly gain. And finally, we spoke about the niyyah, which is the intention. And finally, we spoke about the niyyah, which is the intention, and that the intention is said, or rather, the intention is in a person's heart, and it is not said or uttered upon the tongue. And that the ulama used to say, "Aniyya mahalluha al-qalb wa talaffaz biha bid'ah," that the niyyah, its place is in the heart, and uttering the niyyah or verbalizing the niyyah upon the tongue, this is an act of innovation. This is a bid'ah, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam never did so. And in this chapter, Al-Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah, he mentions 3 ayat and he mentions 13 hadith. He mentions 3 ayat and 13 hadith. The first ayah he mentions is the saying of Allah, وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ حُنَفَا وَيُقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَيُؤْتُوا الزَّكَاةَ وَذَلِكَ الدِّينُ الْقَيِّمَةَ. Allah subhanahu said, and they were not ordered except that they should worship Allah, مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ, making all their acts of worship sincere for Him. مُخْلِصِينَ, i.e. with ikhlas. حُنَفَا, and that they should be حُنَفَا. وَيُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ, and that they should establish the salah. وَيُؤْتُ الزَّكَاةَ, and they should give the zakah. وَذَٰلِكَ دِينُ الْقَيِّمَةِ, and that is the religion which is upright. So in this blessed ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells us, وَمَا أُمِرُوا, that they were not ordered. And the meaning of they, i.e. all the nations throughout history to whom Allah sent prophets and messengers, each one of them, Allah did not order them except with لِيَعْبُدُ اللَّهِ, except that they should worship Allah. And not only that they should worship Allah, but مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ, that they should make their deen, i.e. their religious actions, their acts of worship, sincerely for the sake of Allah, hoping for His reward and fearing His punishment and wanting the good which is with Him. Hunafa, and that they were also ordered to be hunafa. And the meaning of hunafa, those people who incline towards at-tawheed and away from ash-shirk. So Ibrahim alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He described him as being al-hanif. And the meaning of al-hanif is the one who follows a path away from ash-shirk and towards at-tawheed. And then Allah said, وَيُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ وَيُؤْتُ الزَّكَاةِ. And also we ordered them to establish the salah and to give a zakah. And notice in this ayah, first Allah mentioned that we did not order them except that they should worship Allah. So first Allah mentions that He ordered all the previous nations to worship Him. And then Allah subhanahu specified as-salah and az-zakah, even though both as-salah and az-zakah, they come under the generality of worship. So why did Allah first mention that they should worship Allah, and then later on He specified the salah and az-zakah, even though salah and zakah, both of them come under the command of worship? And the scholars of tafsir, they said that Allah subhanahu, He specified as-salah and az-zakah, even though they come under the word ibadah, due to how important they are. So first Allah mentioned worshipping Him generally, and then He specified as-salah and az-zakah to highlight the importance of these two great acts of worship and how noble they are. And that if somebody establishes as-salah and az-zakah, he has established and fulfilled the religion. And if a person does not establish as-salah and give az-zakah, then he has wasted his or her religion. And also this is an evidence that the nations who came before us, to whom the prophets and the messengers were sent, all of them were ordered with as-salah and az-zakah. So as-salah and az-zakah are not specific to this ummah only, the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Rather, the previous nations and the previous prophets, all of them were ordered with as-salah and az-zakah. And then Allah said, وَذَٰلِكَ دِينُ الْقَيِّمَةِ. وَذَٰلِكَ, and that, meaning the path of tawheed, the religion of ikhlas, sincerity, the religion of Islam, it is الدين القيمة, the upright religion, the straight path, which leads to Jannah. And therefore no other path leads to Jannah except the path of Islam and Tawheed and Al-Ikhlas. So the point is that the author, rahimullah, he mentioned this ayah because Allah mentions that He ordered the people to worship Allah, مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ, making their religion and making their acts of worship sincere for Him. The importance of ikhlas. And therefore, before we begin any act of worship, any type of ibadah, we should have an intention in our heart as to why we are performing this act of worship. And the niyyah, the intention, it is in the heart before the act of worship and also throughout the act of worship. So we have to maintain the niyyah throughout the act of worship as well. And the niyyah, the intention, this serves three main objectives. Firstly, the point of having a niyyah is that you are intending by this action ibadah. And secondly, the second role or the second objective of the niyyah is that you are intending this ibadah for the sake of Allah alone and for no other reason or gain. And then thirdly, that you are intending by this act of worship which you are doing for the sake of Allah, that you are submitting to the command of Allah. So to make this clear, let's go through the example of as-salah. A person, before establishing as-salah, has an intention in the heart. And this intention, it fulfills these three objectives. So firstly, your intention, it specifies this action as an act of ibadah. Meaning, this standing, and this bowing, and this sitting, and this prostrating, and me facing this direction, i.e. the qibla, this is an act of worship. And it is salat al-dhuhr, or salat al-asr, or it is a wajib prayer, or it is a nafal prayer. And similarly, when it comes to fasting, for example, so before you fast an obligatory fast, you make the niyyah inside your heart, you have the intention. And this intention, it specifies that me refraining from food and drink from Fajr to Maghrib, I'm doing this as an act of worship. So it is not because I intend health benefits or financial savings, saving money or any other reason. Rather, it is an act of worship. I am seeking to please Allah. It is an act of worship. Then the second role that the niyyah plays is that this salah which you are doing, I am doing it for the sake of Allah. I'm not doing it to be seen. I'm not doing it to be heard or to be known. I'm not performing salah in order to be prayed, in order to be praised, or for people to say how good such a person is because he or she offers salah. I'm not offering salah for money. I am not offering salah for the sake of the dunya, a worldly gain. Rather, this salah of mine, it is for the sake of Allah alone. And then the third role that the niyyah plays is that I am fulfilling this act of worship for the sake of Allah in order to fulfill His command. Because Allah commanded me to offer salat al-dhuhr. Allah said in the Quran, وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَوُ الزَّكَاةَ. Establish your salah and give your zakah. So the third role or the third objective that your niyyah, your intention serves is that you are submitting to the command of Allah. You are doing it because Allah ordered you to establish a salah. These are the three roles or the three objectives that the niyyah covers. And then after this, the author, he mentioned a second ayah. And that is the saying of Allah, لَنْ يَنَالَ اللَّهَ لُحُومُهَا وَلَا دِمَاؤُهَا وَلَكِنْ يَنَالُهُ التَّقْوَى مِنْكُمْ. Allah subhanahu said that its meat and its blood does not reach Allah. Rather, it is the taqwa, the piety from you which reaches Allah. And this noble ayah, this was revealed, this ayah from Surah Al-Hajj, it is regarding slaughtering animals. On Eid al-Adha, when the Muslims slaughter their udhiyah, their animals, or as we call it, qurbani, or on the day of Eid, Yawm al-Nahr, on the day of Eid, when those who are performing Hajj, Yawm al-Nahr, when they slaughter an animal, or even other types of slaughtering which we do. For example, the aqiqah, when an animal is slaughtered to show gratitude to Allah for the birth of a newborn. Allah said that this slaughtering of yours on Eid al-Adha or Yawm al-Nahr on the day of Hajj, it isn't the meat of the animal which reaches Allah, nor does the blood of the animal reach Allah. وَلَكِنْ يَنَالُهُ التَّقْوَى مِنْكُمْ. However, it is taqwa, it is the piety which is in your hearts, which reaches Allah. Meaning Allah subhanahu is saying, لَنْ يَنَالَ اللَّهَ لُحُومُهَا وَلَا دِمَاؤُهَا. That this slaughter, this udhiya, this qurbani, it has not been legislated so that Allah benefits from the meat of the animal or the blood of the animal. Why? Because Allah, He is Al-Khaliq, He is the creator. And He is Al-Raziq, He is the provider. And He is Al-Ghani, He is the one who is rich. And everybody else is in need of Allah. So Allah subhanahu, He does not benefit from any act of worship which we do. And the meat of an animal when it is slaughtered does not reach Allah. Allah does not benefit from it. And the blood of an animal when it is slaughtered does not reach Allah. And He does not benefit from it. Because He is Al-Khaliq, Al-Raziq, Al-Ghani. So what reaches Allah? And why has this great act of worship been legislated, the Adhiya? He said, وَلَكِنْ يَنَالُهُ التَّقْوَى مِنْكُمْ. However, it is the taqwa, the piety which is inside you, inside your hearts. This is what reaches Allah. So Allah subhanahu, He legislated the slaughtering of the animals, not because the meat or the blood reaches Him or He benefits from it, but so you remember Him and you love Him and you fear Him and you slaughter the animal with sincerity and a truthful intention, hoping for the reward which is with Allah. And you develop a taqwa. And it is this taqwa or this piety which is in your heart which reaches Allah, and Allah rewards you for this. And also in this ayah is a benefit that subhanallah, Allah subhanahu, He ordered us to worship Him. And the only one who benefits from this worship is you. So Allah ordered us with salah, Allah ordered us with zakah, Allah ordered us with slaughtering of the animals. And yet Allah does not benefit from the salah or the zakah or the slaughtering of the animals. Rather, we benefit from it. And this shows us the kindness and the mercy of Allah subhanahu, that He orders us with these types of worship, and He is pleased with these types of worship being performed. And the benefit of the worship is not for Him, rather it is for our own selves. And then on top of the benefit of the worship in the dunya, then Allah rewards us even further in the akhirah. And also from the benefits of this ayah is that a person should try to develop and maintain al-ikhlas when slaughtering an animal, giving charity, and in every act of worship. And that a person should not do any act of worship to show off or to be known amongst the people or to be praised or because it is a mere ritual. Rather, every act of worship has to be done with al-ikhlas. And therefore, if a person fulfills the acts of worship without ikhlas and without at-taqwa, then this act of worship has no weight with Allah subhanahu. Because the blood or the meat of the animal does not reach Allah, but it is the ikhlas and the taqwa behind your action which reaches Allah. So therefore, if you slaughter the animal or you perform any other act of ibadah without ikhlas and without at-taqwa, then it is of no weight with Allah subhanahu. It is only being performed in a manner which is vain, without any soul or meaning or depth behind the act of worship. And then finally, the author, rahimullah, mentioned the third ayah. And this is the saying of Allah, قُلْ إِن تُخْفُوا مَا فِي صُدُورِكُمْ أَوْ تُبُدُوهُ يَعْلَمْهُ اللَّهِ. Say, whether you hide that which is in your minds, your chests, or you manifest it, يَعْلَمْهُ اللَّهِ. Allah has complete knowledge of it. Meaning Allah knows of the sincerity which is in our hearts. And Allah knows of the insincerity which is in our hearts. And Allah knows and is well informed of the niyyah, the intention which you have behind doing any act of worship. that are you doing this act of worship sincerely for the sake of Allah, hoping His reward out of piety and goodness? Or are you doing this act of worship to be praised or to be known or to be heard or for it to be said about you how good a person you are? And in this blessed ayah, Allah said, قُلْ, say, meaning, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, O my Prophet, قُلْ, say to the people, إِن تُخْفُوا مَا فِي صُدُورِكُمْ, if you hide and you conceal what is inside your chests, i.e. the intentions which you have in your heart and your mind, if you conceal your intentions and you conceal your thoughts and you conceal the evil inside you and you conceal your jealousy and you conceal your malice, and also if you conceal your good actions and if you conceal your good deeds, your good intentions, O tubduhu, or whether you manifest your intentions by acting upon them, ya'lamhu Allah, Allah knows of it. Because Allah knows that which is hidden and Allah knows that which is apparent. So that which is apparent are our actions, and Allah is aware of our actions. And that which is hidden is our intentions, our thoughts. And also Allah knows of our thoughts. And then Allah said, وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ, and Allah knows that which occurs and takes place in the heavens and upon the earth. So this shows us the great extent of the knowledge of Allah. That firstly, He knows the inner thoughts of a person, and He also knows the manifest actions of a person. In fact, more than this, He knows everything which takes place and occurs in the heavens and the skies and upon the earth. Wallahu ala kulli shayin qadir. And Allah has complete ability over everything. This ayah has a number of benefits. The first benefit is that it shows us the difference between us as humans and between Allah subhanahu. That as humans, we are only able to judge a person by what is apparent from a person's actions and statements. And as for the intentions and the secrets which are contained in a person's heart, nobody knows this aside from Allah subhanahu. And for this reason, it is not permissible for a person to doubt another person's intention or speak about another person's intention, or negate the iman which is in a person's heart. It is not allowed for a person to accuse another person of nifaq, of being a munafiq, a hypocrite, because only Allah knows what is in the heart. However, we are able to judge a person based on their actions and their statements. Also, the scholars use this ayah as an evidence that the place of the niyyah, of the intention, is in the heart. Because Allah began this ayah by saying, قُلْ إِن تُخْفُوا مَا فِي صُدُورِكُمْ, say, if you conceal that which is in your hearts, your chest, meaning your intentions which are in your heart. And also from this ayah we take a benefit, that this ayah guides us to purifying our thoughts and our intentions, and always remembering the complete and perfect knowledge of Allah subhanahu at every time, with every thought and every intention. So you may do an action which is hidden from the people in the privacy of your own home, but remember that Allah has complete knowledge of it. Because Allah said, وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ, Allah knows of everything which occurs in the heavens and everything which occurs upon the earth. And also, that we should be shy in front of Allah, that Allah sees from our hearts evil thoughts. So just as we are shy from the people seeing our sins or seeing our weaknesses, we should also be shy in front of Allah, that He sees and He knows of our heart and that which it contains in terms of evil thoughts and suspicion and jealousy and malice and so on and so forth. And for this reason, a person should try to preoccupy his mind and his or her intentions with everything which pleases Allah subhanahu. For example, instead of thinking of ways to harm the people, think of ways to benefit the people. And instead of having an evil thought, ponder an ayah from the Quran, or try to remember a hadith, or ponder and think about the creation which Allah has created. And instead of always losing hope and complaining and being pessimistic, that a person places his hope in Allah and remembers the blessings of Allah. And instead of a person always complaining, even if it is in their mind, rather a person appreciates the great blessings of Allah subhanahu. And like this. So these three ayat, all of them, they revolve around the importance of al-ikhlas. In the first ayah, Allah mentioned, وَلَكِنْ يَنَالُهُ التَّقْوَى مِنْكُمْ. Rather, it is the taqwa, the piety and the sincerity behind your slaughtering and behind your actions which reaches Allah, and therefore be sincere in the acts of worship which you do. And then in the first ayah, Allah said, وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. They were not ordered except that they should worship Allah, making their religion mukhlisina upon ikhlas, and therefore we have to have al-ikhlas. And then the final ayah which we mentioned, قُلْ إِن تُخْفُوا مَا فِي صُدُورِكُمْ أَوْ تُبْدُوهُ يَعْلَمْهُ اللَّهُ. Say, whether you hide and conceal that which is in your chests, or you manifest it, Allah knows, and therefore have ikhlas and have at-taqwa. And do these actions for the sake of Allah alone. And refrain from these actions for the sake of Allah alone. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for ikhlas, for sincerity in every action and every statement. And Allah knows best, and may He protect all the Muslims from every illness and every disease. And may He remove the people from the situation that they are in. هذا والله أعلم وبالله التوفيق وصلى الله على نبينا وسلم.